This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Is the fantasy football marathon rolling on ESPN? Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and that is where we are headed right now. ESPN NFL Insider, Fantasy Focus, football podcast host, Field Yates, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Field, it's Chris and Bart, and I just want to start with this. As fantasy owners are approaching their drafts here over the next couple of weeks, what is the most complicated decision that they are going to have in regards to a player?
Yeah, I think the most difficult one is actually Michael Thomas, who a couple of years ago was the best wide receiver in fantasy football, one of the best seasons we've ever seen. Now you've got a variety of factors that complicate his value for this year. Let's start with the fact that he's hurt. We know he's not going to be out there on the field to begin the season. It sounds like he'll be there maybe by the end of the first month of the regular season, but we still don't know exactly when that time will come. Second factor is that once he does return, as we saw last year, it's not a guarantee he'll knock off the rust and be right back to the usual Michael Thomas form that we saw in 2019. So if he's back by, let's just say, week five, how comfortable are you going to be starting him in week five? Third factor is that we don't know who his quarterback is. And if his quarterback is Taysom Hill, I don't know how confident you can be that this offense is going to be based through the air, which it was for many, many years when Drew Brees was the quarterback, despite a good running game. And the last thing I'll say is there are so many good wide receivers right now in fantasy football. You could probably go 75 deep in terms of wide receivers that might intrigue you in your draft. So all four of those factors combine to make Michael Thomas a really tricky player to size up going into the year.
Now, you know, let's talk about two players that are coming off of injury. Which one is the better play, Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey?
I'm going to go with Christian McCaffrey for a couple of reasons here. First of all, I think all things being equal, we've seen his ceiling is even above the ceiling of Saquon's in fantasy football. Of course, 2 years ago, McCaffrey becoming the third player ever with 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards in the same season. And it had been like almost 30 years since anybody did that. So the apex of Christian McCaffrey is just absurd. Second of all, while McCaffrey only played in 3 games last year, we know that some of that was load management by the Panthers. When he's dealing with a shoulder injury or a quad issue late in the season, you know, what's the motivation for a team that was playing for nothing to rush him back out there, especially after just that previous offseason, signing him to a very lucrative contract extension? And Saquon, as we know, he obviously missed all but 1+ games last year, getting hurt in week 2. And the Giants are going to be incredibly cautious with him, as they have been very clear about this offseason. Not that either of you don't know that in New York, is that the Giants right now aren't even committing to week 1. And maybe Saquon will be out there for week 1, but maybe not. And one thing is clear, I don't expect Saquon in the first game of the season to run the ball 25 times and have 5 catches. I wouldn't be surprised if they say, not quite a snap count, but you know, we might ease him back in relative to what we saw early on in his career.
ESPN NFL Insider, Fantasy Focus host of the podcast. That is, of course, Field Yates joining us right now during ESPN's Fantasy Football Marathon. Download the ESPN Fantasy Sports app. It has got everything you need and running your league there as well. It is absolutely fantastic. Okay. When you are in a position that I am often in, which is the 12th pick of the 12-team draft, and you're going back-to-back in that first round, and you have missed out on the majority of the great running backs, what is your philosophy there? Is it to go and get the two best receivers that you can, or is it to maybe get a lesser running back and a great receiver?
Yeah, so I will tell people the most important rule for fantasy football, there's one rule above all else. It's draft for value. So if you're sitting there and there's a Devontae Adams or a Travis Kelce waiting for you, pick 12, you're not confident in the running back for one reason or another, go ahead and take a superstar. You can find running backs later in the draft than just beyond your first round. But, and this is something that applies to some people, but not to all, if you only play in one league, and many people play in lots of leagues, if I play in just one league, I am almost always going to want to have a running back in one of my first two picks. I'm not going to force it. It can't be just a total terrible value. But if I can leave with at least one running back on my one team, I feel better about the roster construction that takes place from then on out.
Field, with the records that we have seen over the years, and the league's become such a passing league, now with 17 games, as close as Derrick Henry came last year, he went over 2,000 yards to the record. We were talking a few minutes ago. Is it possible to have a 6,000-yard passer this season? What record in terms of yardage or even touchdowns could you see falling this year?
I think the passing yardage record is probably the one that I think has the greatest chance to go down. Sort of piggyback on the thought that you had. So we've never seen a 6,000-yard passing season. I don't know that we'll see one right away this year, but that seems to be the one that's most vulnerable for a few reasons. The extra game certainly helps things. And then as you noted, I mean, how many NFL teams are showing us right now that if you can run the football, it's not a bad thing. It's always a good thing. But you don't have to run the football to be a really dynamic offense. The Chiefs were a pass-pass and more pass team last year. The Bills, pass-pass and more pass team last year. Those are just two of the offenses. The Bucs, you would say, although they did run the football well in the playoffs, they also can just absolutely bowl you over with three incredible wide receivers and three talented tight ends as well. So I think it's going to be just a matter of time before 6,000 passing yards is surpassed, which of course would then set the NFL record.
Now, one of the most dynamic positions in football right now is the tight end position. Is Kelce the clear-cut favorite for the fantasy football player, or can somebody come from behind to maybe come up? Can Darren Waller potentially be the number one producer?
I think there's a chance at the end of the season, the total number of points that Darren Waller scores is relatively close to Travis Kelce. But what makes Kelce so unique, and somehow he's doing this at 32, by the way, is that he's getting better every year, and he's so consistent. If you go back and look at last year, didn't have a single game without 10 fantasy points. Well, Waller is amazing. I just love the player. I love the story. A little bit less consistent week in and week out. So if I'm looking for, again, I mean, as you know, department, like not just like a really good tight end, like arguably the MVP in fantasy football could be Travis Kelce, because although the tight end position is growing in terms of useful playmakers, Travis Kelce still remains a cut above the rest, and it's almost like starting your matchup with a touchdown already on the board and your opponent still at 0 points. So I love Travis Kelce. I think he is the first pass catcher that should go off the board this year, whether that's fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. That's kind of the range for Travis Kelce in drafts.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider, Fantasy Football Podcast host as well with the Fantasy Focus, I should say. All right, last one, Fields. You know what everybody always wants, the sleepers. Give me your two or three best sleepers this year.
Yeah, so one caveat that I am throwing out there more and more every year is that sleepers are about a player's value, not about a player's name, because football is so popular. Fantasy football is so popular. That's why we're doing a fantasy marathon right now. That if I give you a name like A.J. Dillon, you're probably going to say, I know A.J. Dillon. He's, you know, a second-round pick last year out of B.C. and go to the Packers. But in terms of where he's being drafted, he's not being paid enough attention to. So A.J. Dillon would be one. Anthony Firkser would be one at tight end. He's got a chance to take over as the starter in Tennessee after Jonnu Smith left this past offseason. Those are two names that come to mind. And then, you know, quarterbacks, because they're all well-known, it's hard to say that any of them are a sleeper. And there's a chance, though, that Trevor Lawrence, and obviously everybody knows that name, exceeds expectations from a fantasy perspective. I hope that means he also exceeds expectations on the field in real life football. But when you're the best prospect by many people's estimation in nearly 10 years, it's hard for you to exceed expectations. Our expectations for Trevor Lawrence are very, very high.
What about J.K. Dobbins?
J.K. Dobbins is going to be a star as well. And my only hope for him from a fantasy perspective is that the Ravens are less committed to Gus Edwards than they have been in previous years. Gus Bus is a very important part of their offense. He is, as the old cliche, a north-south runner. But I want to see a little bit less Gus Edwards and a little bit more J.K. Dobbins. And if we get that, he could finish as one of the 10 best running backs in fantasy this year.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider, Fantasy Focus podcast host. Awesome stuff. Get some sleep at some point when the marathon ends later.
I appreciate that, guys, and thanks for having me on the show today.
Absolutely. Great stuff. And as we said, if you have not downloaded the ESPN Fantasy Sports app, you got to go do it now. It's going to run your league beautifully. All the information that you need to draft your team properly, and I'll tell you what, they do an amazing job with it every year, and it's the best that there is out there. Again, the ESPN Fantasy Sports app, go check it out and make sure you download it wherever you get your apps. It is Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by the Home Depot, with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Bart, yesterday, it ended our long national nightmare of listening to Jamal Adams complain about not getting a big-time contract, and he finally got it. And this came not 24 hours after the Seahawks had let it leak. They were more than comfortable franchising him next year, letting him play out his rookie contract this year, and then even franchising him again beyond that.
Wow.
Jamal Adams got the bag. $38 million guaranteed, $20 million signing bonus. Bart, he's not worth it. He's not worth it.
It's what the market says, man.
Top paid safety, by the way.
We talk about a guy that has 21 sacks, right? So he's more of a hybrid type of guy. He's a linebacker. He's a guy you need. Now, where he has to improve at and where he's going to maybe get exposed a little bit is
a little bit
in coverage. Right, because like
I'm a little overweight. That's where he's going. That's not a little bit.
But if you think Jamal Adams is like your lockdown corner or pass safety, that he is not. You got to protect him a little bit, and you know, I think Tyrann Mathews is better in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
For my bang, for my buck, I think that maybe Derwin James, when healthy, and the kid out in Pittsburgh, your guy.
Minka Fitzpatrick
is a bit better, but Jamal was the next one up, and he's really elite at what he does. And what he does is, you know, get to the passer, right? And he makes explosive game changing plays. But with all that being said, the defense was horrible last year, even with them having all his success.
That is my point. Here is Jamal wanting to create the Legion of Boom Part 2. How about, you know, we bring back the tackling? Maybe that. I don't know. But before we bring back the swagger, let's bring back fundamentals.
I mean,
could that be possible?
They were getting up historical numbers last year early in the season, man. You think of some of those games they were in, and I know he wasn't healthy last year. He got injured. But they had to give him the bag. And, yeah, they were willing to give him the franchise tag, but we know that, you know, if he gets it twice, the leverage goes in his department, because he's able to get, you know, top flight money, then go somewhere else and get the bag as well. Now the lights are going to be on him, right? So Now I know he plays in the Western Pacific, whatever you call it up there in Seattle, and a lot of times
we don't see
a lot of their games. But man, is that light going to be on him? If he get fried barbecue chicken style, everybody's going to know about it.
The other news yesterday that I think even has gotten a little bit overlooked is John Mara commenting on the new taunting rules this year.
Yeah, man.
Let's hear from the Giants owner who's on the committee that voted about this and how it has gotten a whole lot stricter. A couple of players that have responded already to that. Number one, Alvin Kamara, who basically said, now I want to do it to see exactly how far I can push it before I'm going to get a flag. And number two was from the aforementioned Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah.
In other words, shut up and play.
Basically, right? You know, yeah. Not everybody's Barry Sanders, right? Not everybody's going to score a touchdown and hand the ball off. Now, people don't understand how much energy and effort it takes to get yourself ramped up for a game. It's a different level from going to practice. Practice, you can be methodical, go about doing your business. But you don't understand how hard it is for you to get juiced up. You want a team that can play with enthusiasm, passion, and excitement. So you're telling me that I make a big hit, a game break, win and play, I can't celebrate? Like, what are we talking about? You know how hard it is to get a sack? You know how hard it is to get an interception? You know how hard it is to make the game-winning catch? And I'm not supposed to be enthusiastic? I mean, we're sitting up here arguing and talking about Tyreek Hill putting up the peace sign. Is that really, like, a derogatory term? Saying peace, like, I holler, I'm out. I got a reservation for six with the end zone? No, he ain't sitting over there and doing the fire hydrant and acting like he urinating on the football. He ain't doing the D-Generation X saying, suck it, right? I can't, you know, do a backflip. I can't be excited because you don't understand the culture.
Okay.
It's the culture. What I'm saying is they don't understand, right? And sometimes you see, you get this in baseball a lot. But then you watch something like the Dominican League, right? Or the Cuban League. And you watch how much fun that they have and what goes back and forth. See, these kids grow up, like, talking trash at the park. Talking trash while they're playing. It's not to demean the person. It's fun. And what happens is when you talk, it energizes your teammates as well. Like, it's a, and now you want to have white people who don't understand the culture to interpret, oh, no, this dude did the whipping nay-nay, like, that's the newest dance, or he did the Corvette juju dance. And they're supposed to understand. They don't understand what's going on in the culture. How the hell are they going to regulate it? So you want me to just get up, hand the ball up, and then when I don't play with enthusiasm, hey, you guys are playing flat and lethargic.
Okay, to play devil's advocate for a second, the difference that there is – and you're the perfect person to ask about this — between that and actually getting in somebody's face where you're ticking them off.
That's different. But listen, I remember when
she... See, that's why I don't like where they drew the line here, because some of the penalties I saw on it over the weekend were absurd.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. And now, but what I'm saying is it's up to the interpretation. Who's interpreting it, right? It's some guy that don't understand the culture, don't understand if these guys are friends. I remember a guy getting a flag because he was acting like he was going to fight, and it was his friend. They were like friends, like former teammates. They were just joking around. He gave him a flag, and I was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, man, I can't have fun. We know each other. We train with each other. Like, when you see Steph hit a three, and he goes down and put the three there. When you see, like, Zeke talking about feed me. Like, what are you talking about? That is him, you know, using nonverbal communication to the team, the crowd. I'm ready, baby. I'm pumped up. Give me the ball some more. I'm ready. Feed me.
All right, so where is it then? Is it stepping over a guy? Where is that line for you then?
It's stepping over a guy. It's getting in somebody's face. It's touching their helmet. It's throwing the football on them, catching the ball, dropping the ball on them, right? It's pointing your fingers in their face. It's not celebrating. I mean, we used to have a series where guys like Jared Allen had the lasso thing that he wrapped up. Everybody had a sack dance. Everybody had something that they did when they celebrated, and they just want to take the fun out of the league. So when you go there in the league and the guys are playing lethargic and guys aren't playing well and there's no excitement and it's flat and it looks like a game playing with no sound, then blame yourself, because you got a bunch of white guys and a bunch of guys that are from a totally different generation that's interpreting what players should do and can't do and what's taunting and what's celebrating and playing with the joy and enthusiasm that we expect players to play with.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Do you have a problem with now how the league interprets what taunting is versus what celebrating is? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Next, you're going to hear from someone who is not too happy. At the trade deadline, one player in particular got really, well, what's the word I'm looking for? Hosed. Last night, he spoke out, and he spoke out hard. You will hear from him in moments on audio files, or in audio files, right after you hear from Bart from his friends at DoorDash.
DoorDash here with the summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass and the DoorDash app, and stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Han.
Bart's birthday!
Hey, y'all celebrated last week on vacay.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott. It is the summer of Dash Pass, and members are getting $10 off groceries, alcohol, and pet food because summer. Try Dash Pass for free. Get year-round savings, exclusive menu items, zero delivery fees in the DoorDash app. Terms and conditions apply. In 4 minutes, we get to audio files. First up, though, some calls based off of what Bart just had to say regarding regarding the taunting rule now in the NFL and the crackdown on it. Bloomby in New York starts us off on ESPN Radio. Bloomby, what's up, buddy?
How you doing, guys? Good to see you again. But I got to start this off. I'll preface this right away. Bart, I am an old white guy, right? But I dig what you said. I'll tell you that right now. Because taunting is so, so important in sports, especially football. And this is why. Growing up and moving around, making friends, the best games, the best competition, we always gave each other the smack. We always gave each other the, you know what I mean? But I'm telling you, we brought the best out of each other, and it was the best time I ever had, honestly. I call it a congratulatory competitiveness, and I'm telling you, you need to keep it in the game.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, so you're not trying to demean anybody, but you're trying to say, yo, I got you. This is my squad against your squad, and I just knocked you out. And your boy coming over like, yeah, he just knocked you out. And what he's going to do, he's going to go back, and his teammates got to, yo, we got to get them back. And that's how you get that competitive juices. Like, we see it all the time, man. Some of the funnest games that we've ever had in life is talking crap to somebody at the park and we going at them. Or talking with somebody at high school. Why do you want to take that emotion and passion out of it? Do you know how crazy you got to be to try and run into a 350-pound man? And if you're able to knock that guard that's pulling you 100 pounds, or you the corner that comes up and cuts the pulling guard out and gets the tackle, you ain't supposed to celebrate. You 180 pounds soaking wet. You just knocked out Jonathan Ogden. Come on, man.
Keith in Jersey. Next, Keith, you got a problem with the crackdown?
Oh, yes, I do. What's up, guys? Happy birthday, Bart. No, I agree with Bart wholeheartedly, man. It's competition. I don't care what sport you're playing, wiffle ball, the darts. When you're better than someone, you show them, man. You outdo someone, that's what you do.
Yeah, you don't want me to celebrate? Don't let me do nothing good if you don't want me to celebrate.
Look, I think it's ridiculous what we saw this past weekend. And you saw a couple of taunting penalties that were not taunting. It was getting up. One point, it looked like a guy was stepping over another guy, but it was to get out of the way.
Yeah.
It was not Iverson stepping over Tyronn Lue. Right.
You're not hitting a guy and knocking him out and doing a John Cena, you can't see me, leaning in his face. And not like that. Like, it's like, come on, man. And listen, let me clear something up, right? When I say, oh, white guys, I'm talking about ageism as well, right? I'm talking about the old school that's not understanding the type of consumer that they have now. The baby boomers are dying, man. Like, now it's a new breed that wants to be entertained because you have so many different options. Why do you think people are watching Triller, right? Because they want to see Snoop Dogg come in and they want to see the trash talk. They want to see the bravado because there's nothing better when somebody is sitting there like Juju Smith-Schuster, he's dancing all on your logo, and you come around and you de-cleat his chest from his body and you let him know about it, and that's entertainment.
Michael in South Jersey is next. Michael, you agree or disagree with Bart?
Well, I fully agree with the trash talk, and I think there's no problem with it. It's something these guys grew up with. It's something we all grew up with. We all did. I love it. I mean, when T.O. stood on the star, I loved it. But my only problem, and I'm glad you addressed it, like to sit there and say white guys having a problem and not understand the culture, but you give examples of Jared Allen. And, I know he did a celebration, but you know, to say white guys not understanding the culture, it just seems a little bit like, yeah. You know, divisive, but I'm glad you cleared it up. I appreciate that you cleared it up.
Yeah, because guess who else is on that committee? Guess who else is on that committee? Ozzie Newsome and Mike Tomlin that comes from the old school that was one of those guys. Like if they had a guy like Barry Sanders on there. Now, if they had a guy like Primetime on there, Prime like, oh, hell no, we ain't putting this rule in. Right, we need some balance there, man. It can't be one way.
Other guys on the committee, just for clarification, Rich McKay, John Mara, this is a competition committee, Stephen Jones, Mark Murphy, John Elway, Ron Rivera, and Sean Payton.
They all sound like guys that urinate sitting down. I don't even know
what that means.
You talk about that list. They sound like some old prudes.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Goodness.
And listen, Sean Payton is, I have a problem with that because I remember engaging in an argument and cussing at him for the entire time we played. He was cussing back. And we see him on the sideline cussing a ref out. We see him on the sideline cussing players out. But he's the guy that's going to write the rule. It's almost as absurd as Merton Hanks was the uniform police. Like, hold on. I'm going to Merton Hanks about being in compliance with a uniform. I'm talking about a dude that had a wristband on his neck, that had a do-rag on, and had 75 wristbands on his arm. That's the dude I'm talking to. Probably not.
Oh, dear God, get me the audio files.
You got to be a special person to urinate sitting down, Chris. It takes a level of laziness.
Well, I'm familiar with the laziness factor, absolutely. First up. Luke Voit, big night for the Yankees last night, hit a solo home run, and he was the guy that everybody just assumed was getting traded immediately but didn't when the Yankees got Anthony Rizzo. Well, Luke Voit, he's ready to still stake his claim even when Rizzo gets back.
I feel like I'm hitting my stride, you know, after, you know, getting a week's worth of games under me. And, you know, I was top 10 MVP last year, and I've been a great player for this organization for the last 3 years, and you know, I'm not going down. You know, I want to play. Obviously, I know it's going to be tougher with Rizzo, but, you know, I deserve to play just as much as he does. And, you know, I led the league in home runs last year, and I feel really good again. And obviously, you know, the injury bug is the reason he's here, you know, because of me. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, I hope Boone can do whatever he can to, you know, try to get me some consistent at-bats.
Love it.
Luke Voit wants all the smoke. He's saying, listen, remember, I was an MVP candidate, and listen, I led the league in home runs. Put some respect on my name. Listen, y'all can find this dude somewhere else to play, man. Luke Voit, man, I can't wait till Rizzo comes in. Like, listen, man, I'm not trying to take your job, man. I just trying to come here and play the best baseball. Shut up. Get out my face.
I hate to say it. Luke's going to sit on the bench.
Yep.
Rizzo's going to be playing because the Yankees need the left-handed bat in the lineup. If anything, we have seen that whole idea of all righties are just the best hitters in this instance. That just doesn't work. They need left-handers to balance out that lineup. Up next, Phil Simms on Greeny this morning, chiming in on, well, it's Greeny, so who else? His new favorite person, Zach Wilson. Wow. Toughest job of the five, but I love the demeanor.
Yeah.
Love the demeanor so far from Zach Wilson.
Unaffected. And he's going to have his ups and his downs, but I think they have a good supporting cast around him on the offensive line where he's not going to be get it beat out of him like Trevor Lawrence is going to get it beat out of him. We hope Trevor Lawrence doesn't become David Carr.
Exactly.
Or Joe Burrow.
Meanwhile, Greeny has full-on admitted he's in love. He's full-on
full
in love.
Full-blown love.
Exactly. The Dave Gettleman full-blown love with Zach Wilson. Then Vic Fangio, Broncos head coach. They have a quarterback race going on. I don't even know if I want to call that a race. Maybe more of an amble.
A speed walk.
Two guys walking a mall. Is that what we're saying? Well, it's between Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. So where does it stand, Coach? This is a classic, classic example of when you got two quarterbacks, you got none.
Yep. Because if one struggles, they're going to feel like somebody's breathing down their neck, and it's going to cause them not to be able to play as free as they need to play. I mean, I think he needs to make a definitive answer by this next game. He needs to name a starter.
Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, where do you come down on the new taunting rule that the league is emphasizing? Bart, heavily against it. We have seen perhaps going over the top already in the preseason in calling taunting on plays when maybe it wasn't there. Your reaction in just moments, your chance to react as well at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Light up the phone lines. It's Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Justin's going to have his time, but right now it's my time. It's Dalton time, Bart. Did you ever see Roadhouse?
It's Red Rifle.
Did you ever see Roadhouse?
I did.
Dalton? I thought you'd be bigger.
Yeah.
It's
old
Dalton
Patrick
time.
Patrick Swayze.
Exactly. That was a little Patrick Swayze swagger to him right
like,
there.
It's like, pump your brakes, youngster. I've accomplished some stuff in this league. And you're going to do some good stuff, but I ain't just going away that fast.
Good for Andy Dalton.
Yeah, stand up for yourself. Nobody else is.
Exactly. And he's always been that quiet leader.
Nick Foles in the back like, hey, I'm a Super Bowl MVP. Hey, guys, I got a statue. Hey. Like, when are they going to cut Nick Foles? They just trying to get something for him.
That's absolutely it. That's like, all on. They're doing is like, trying to get a sixth round or seventh round pick for him.
It's like, what are we talking about here, man?
I don't know. I don't know why they haven't done it yet. Let's get back to it. Jimmy on Long Island is up next on Bart and Han, ESPN Radio. Jimmy, what's going on, dude? How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Great.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Happy birthday, Bart.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to kind of touch on what Bart was saying. I'm actually a high school football official on Long Island, and, you know, I kind of see the taunting kind of trickle down to, you know, the high school games, and it always kind of kills me to, you know, throw a flag on these kids because they're showing that passion, and yet you really kind of hate to stifle it. And to kind of go with what Bart was saying with, you know, these old white guys not necessarily understanding it, well, if you take a look on the field, who do you have officiating these games? So they kind of need to use their discretion, you know, hold their whistle, hold the flags, and, you know, just let them play the game.
Hey, can you imagine, like, a player running through some three guys and stiff armor one, dragging a guy for 2 yards? What is he supposed to do? Like, man, I just drug five of y'all, and then he gets up and gets a penalty, and it goes back, and it's like, man, I can't win for losing, man. Like, how can I – people, you have no idea how crazy and dumb you have to be running through a line of scrimmage and seeing a guy like Brian Urlacher, Dick Butkus, Ray Lewis, Steve Atwater coming down, and you got to say, you know what? I got to lower my shoulder. It's straight ahead, no fair dodging. He's between me and the first down. And you actually knock one of those guys down or run him over to get the first down. You know how great you feel that you closed your eyes and you went and you stuck your foot in the dirt and you came up victorious? Listen, Vince Lombardi says all the time, the greatest moment that he believes that all men hold true is the time they lie dead, you know, exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. And listen, that victorious isn't just at the end of the bell, right? It's a bunch of battles that go on every single play. And you have to celebrate every single play to get to the big result at the end.
Frank in Manhattan is up next. Frank, you're on ESPN Radio. You got about 20 seconds.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. Bart, you spoke about the fire and competitive spirit of today's players. Do they have any more than the Buckuses and the Nitschkes and the Deacon Jones of years ago? Those guys were great players. They didn't taunt. You got
man, did you
today.
See Jack Lambert? Did you see they would kick guys in the face, step on their chest? Deacon Jones would head smack people. Are you kidding me? See, it's crazy how quickly guys forget. You know, Hank Strand, all these guys talking stuff. How about these coaches on the sideline cussing the referees out?
My goodness. I tell you, it is crazy.
Man, these dudes was crazy. White Juice Johnson. What are you talking about?
I'm just going to leave it at this.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.